Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 50, the I Don't Want To's. Today is Friday, June 6th, 2008. Welcome to the episode number 50. Quite a triumph. I am so happy to be here. I'm happy that we've had 50 episodes. Hopefully you've joined me for most of them, and you are going to tell people that you know about Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast, because I'm hoping that these messages get out to anyone that needs to hear them, that would like to hear them. And basically, you are our word of mouth marketing team. So that's how they get out there, and I hope you're getting blessed like I am. I love Pastor Paul's messages. I first came to know Pastor Paul on the radio. Yes, I listened to him on the radio doing his messages. They were done in half-hour segments. This particular message is 1.5 hours, which means it would have been 3 segments on the radio. But in podcasting, we can play the full message, 1.5 hours, and basically you are the person that can split this up any way you want. So I'm planning on you to do that. It's an excellent message. I'm going to try to wrap up the intro here soon, although I do have some important things I want to tell you about. Number one, I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. You got to know that, okay? I am Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And that's where Pastor Paul's mission is located. We're located on the corner of 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And we distribute food Monday through Friday from 9:30 until 11:20. Each day we distribute groceries to people in need. If you have a need and you are in Minnesota or Western Wisconsin, come on down. But before you do that, call 612-521-4665 and you will talk to Carolyn, and Carolyn will give you a temporary number. You'll be able to come in the next day and get groceries. And let me tell you, we are generous. The Lord is good. When you come to Pastor Paul's mission to get groceries, you will be going home with a lot of food. So if you have a need, if you know someone that has a need, you give us a call, 612-521-4665, and call us and let us know who you are, and we will register you for Pastor Paul's mission. Now, getting back to the message, the name of this message again is the I Don't Want To's. Pastor Paul's mission does want to. Yes, we do. We have been for some over 20 years. We've been distributing food. Why? Because we want to. The Lord has made us ready. Be sure to call us if you need food. Also, you can call the comment line for this podcast, which is 1-715-808-0318. Again, the messages here that you hear here, I'm hoping that you are going to call someone and tell someone about the podcast so they can listen and get something from this message as well. In order to subscribe to the message, you're going to want to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. That's blog is hosted by Blogger. We thank you, Blogger. You can subscribe to the podcast at the blog. And also, you will see our show notes there. I do quite a bit in the show notes. I try to write something about something on there, so check it out. But you're always going to see different things about the podcast there. You're going to be able to download the podcast from the show notes. Many, many scriptures in this message. You're going to want to go there, and I've got the scriptures posted, the links. You're going to be able to go from the scriptures and actually read the scriptures. Do that after you listen to the podcast, though, because you don't want to miss anything. Also, be sure to tell a friend, word of mouth marketing. That's how the podcast is going at this time. This is not on any other hosted podcasting program. So be sure to tell a friend. And then also, if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can call the comment line or you can email janine@pastorpaul.org. A few points I'm going to mention that you're going to want to listen to are this. Inferiority complexes. Pastor Paul talks about that. He talks about giving up things. That perfect love casts out fear. That conversion hysteria is the price that we pay for not giving things up. Have you ever said, what a drag he is, what a drag she is? Oh, I feel like such a drag. Those are the I don't want to spirits. Also mentions Jehovah Eagle, and that's a message I'm going to try to find. Confess your faults to be healed. Give your heart completely to the Lord. I want you to listen to the testimonies at the very end of the message. Pastor Paul asks for testimonies. Excellent testimonies are there. Be sure to listen to those. And I will see you here next Friday for Friday's message, I Saw the Lord. You don't want to miss listening to that one. Subscribe. You can donate on the homepage. Our website is www.pastorpaul.org. I'm in the middle of redoing it. You're going to love it. It's going to be colorful. I'll just tell you that much. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week for episode number 51. I love you.
Today's message is entitled, The I Don't Want To's. You met some of them up at the bread line. I don't want to's. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Then if they keep singing, they gather a whole group. We don't want to. We don't want to. We don't want to. We don't want to. How many times do we put things down and don't do them because we just don't want to? I didn't do that because, well, you didn't do it, brother or sister, because you didn't want to. You could have done it. You were there, but you just didn't want to. I think we should remind each other and just sing that every once in a while to each other and say, you know why you didn't do that? Because you didn't want to. You didn't want to. You didn't want to. And walk away. And if someone doesn't want to smile and be happy and joy, hey, you know, it's our duty to have the joy of the Lord. Why do you have to spread your sadness all around? Why don't you spread some joy? You have it by simply believing in faith that you have. We were talking about that this morning. You have that joy by believing it. And so a beautiful sister, young babe in Christ, and we all wonder that. Well, how do I believe? Well, you believe by just believing. And I said, well, you know, you get up in the morning, just lay there and think about it. Some people do. But do you lay there and think, can I get up? No, you just get up. And how do you walk? By just simply doing it. But at first we take baby steps and so on like that. And we have the I don't want to's as babies. But I think as Christians we ought to grow up. Don't you? And there's a lot of babies running around. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And then a bunch of other little babies come along. We don't want to. We don't want to. We don't want to. Huh? And I think if we got all the whole world of Christians together, my God, and got them all together, we could have the most beautiful choir, and they could harmonize and everything, and the drums, and they could have the whole symphonic orchestra. We don't want to, huh? That's the problem in life today. There's a whole lot of people that just don't want to. Say amen, somebody. Don't want to. Will not. Refuse to. But this week, I've been dealing with a lot of people, and I think we should deal with it, that have inferiority complexes, and that's their problem. There's a lot of people that know they're saved, but they still have inferiority complexes. And Isaiah 46 and 12 says, listen ye who are downcast, who fall and feel far from any triumph. Some of you sitting in here today like that? I bring my triumph. Now, you believe the Lord, right? I, God's saying, bring my, God's saying, triumph right near. Are you hearing this? Don't get interested in somebody's wig now. Woohoo, look up here. My victory is hastening. Oh, that's rude. You shouldn't do that. Hey, if I don't get people's attention, the devil will. And that's, again, we have to sing when people don't want to listen. I don't want to. Listen, ye who are downcast, who feel far from any triumph. I bring my triumphs near, right near. Now, he says it twice. It's near and it's right near. Now, when God says that, don't you believe it's closer than close? My victory is hastening. Now, the key word here is listen. That's the key word. Listen, ye who are downcast, who feel far from any triumph, I bring my triumph near, right near, my victory is hastening. And the key word is listen. But a lot of people are turned off to listening. Ye who are downcast. Now, when you're downcast, actually, that's when your listening is better. When I'm down and I don't know where to go, well, I've learned. There's only one place that I can go when I'm downcast. To the Lord. And then I have to listen. How many are hearing this? Ye who are downcast. Wow. So many times we can get downcast. Somebody says something or somebody doesn't say something. I wonder what's wrong with them. They didn't say anything. So we get, it's so easy for people to get down. Well, even in the world, they have a positive note. Get it on down. Well, that means, get it on up. Well, I say, get it on down the road. And get up. And listen, all ye that are downcast. Do you feel far from any triumph today? And are you listening on the radio? Maybe you do. Maybe you're listening to this tape message. Maybe you feel far from any triumph. That represents the tape ministry and the radio ministry. Because you're not just ministering in here. My Lord, if that's all a church does, just minister to the group that's in here, then there's something wrong. But if you feel far from any triumph, radio ministry and tape ministry, and some sitting in here today, good. Give up your plan of victory. Give up your thoughts. Isn't that a heavy trip, getting into your own thoughts? Oh, God. Huh? Give up your tricks. You got tricks? Oh, I got tricks. I got tricks, you got tricks, everybody got tricks, right? Give up your antidotes. Give up your worries. Well, how do you do that? By faith. By believing God. Well, if you don't want to believe God that that'll work, then of course it won't. And give up, most of all, your feelings. You hear a song like that, feelings, feelings like I've never had before. Well, give them up. They'll only get worse. And stay away from the I don't want to's. You ever seen a I don't want to face? I see them all the time. How many have seen the I don't want to faces around? Oh, I know these factories and places all over and churches all over got these faces. They're sitting around. They got the I don't want to face. They don't want to give up habits. They don't want to give up sin. They don't want to listen. The Bible says, listen, ye who are downcast. Well, the reason we're downcast is we're not listening to the Lord. You're listening to God, you'd never be downcast. I know when I get downcast, it's because I'm not listening to the Lord. I'm listening to my thoughts. I'm listening to my plan of victory. And I'm listening to my tricks and my antidotes and my worries and my feelings. And stay away from, I said, the I don't want to's. If there's someone that doesn't want to, bodily pick them up. Take them over, stand them in the corner, and do not only your job, but their job too. It'll take a lot less effort for you to do the I don't want to's work, and you, the want to work, do it all by yourself. Because you won't even be able to do your thing right. You'll be so worried about the I don't want to's. Don't worry about the I don't want to's. Send them home, tell them to punch out. How many hearing this? Do you know somebody like that? You can empty out factories. If the I don't want to's were taken out. Literally empty them out. Might even start right at the very top. The janitor might be left. My God, I know what I'm saying is the truth, and it hits people right between the eyes, and they don't want to hear it. No, I don't want to hear it. Well, then how do you get people to listen? You don't do it. God does. You'll get your attention. You think you had problems? Problems like I've never had it. They're coming. God will get you out of the rut one way or another. I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it, because that's exactly what happened to me. All I can do is minister my experiences to you. I have nothing to offer but my experiences in God by disobedience, by mistrust, by periods of laziness, by periods of getting into my own thoughts, own tricks, own antidotes, own feelings, and the results are death. God says, my triumph is coming. I bring it. It's near, right near. Stop complaining. Oh, if that'll get you. If you start complaining, what good will it do you? Stop complaining, God says. Open up your eyes and listen. Get ready. My victory is hastening. Some people talk right through it, and they miss their victory because they talk right on through their victory. Just like somebody, you know, they can't believe good when it comes their way. And they keep right on talking through their victory. You give them the principles of the Lord. You show them the way out. God speaks to them, but they're not listening. And they live in that same attitude. They will not listen. They got it in their head. They'll try every other thing there is. They'll read every book there is. But when God speaks to them, they won't listen. They're looking for an antidote outside of the Word of God and outside of the divine guidance of the Holy Ghost. And they're always downcast. Again. Isaiah 46 and 12, listen, ye who are downcast, who feel far from any triumph, I bring my triumph near, right near. My victory is hastening. Isn't that good news? Whew. Wow. Those that feel far from any triumph, I am finding out right now, are filled with a sense of inferiority. Now, there's four classes of people that are in the church. Number one, those that accept life as it comes with courage, and in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then number two, those that accept second best. and they're personally dislocated, maladjusted. Now, if you really look at people like that, and I'm looking at myself again, they're great with the first highs. Now, let me explain that. You meet somebody and you got a real good first impression. Hi! But it's almost like you're sorry you said hi, because now you got to put up with a person every day saying hi to you. Oh, no, now I've created another person to say hi to. Does that sound crazy? It's the truth. People don't want to be bothered with people. They want to put a sack over their head and just go over in a corner and just naturally slunk down and die. Hi! Oh, what'd I do that for? So the person has a first impression. This person wants to say hi to him. It's like you feel like playing with a kid one day. Oh, yeah, and you play with him, having a good time. The next day, the kid can get out. Scram, kid. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. The Holy Spirit, help me. But we got to get ourselves free from all of this childishness. But they're great with the first highs, but then they don't know how to continue on with the person. And so they got to go from one person to the next person and the next person. Hi. 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 Right. They are maladjusted. See, because they're continuing on in their highs with people would mean that they would have to be committed to a person. They don't want to be committed to anyone. It means they would have to become involved in their personal problems, and they don't want that. They got problems all their own. And they get into the attitudes of, oh, that's good enough. And they have a measure of satisfaction, yes, but it's never, ever complete. They're satisfied with their little plants and their little pictures on the wall and their doilies being straightened out and their house being cleaned. And, okay, that's all I ask of life. It's just I just want to be alone. I just want to be alone. Huh? And then number three, we have those who are undone and defeated. Whoa, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. But anyway, those that are undone and defeated, and they exist from day to day. You know, sit up, honey, otherwise you'll just fall asleep. You got a pillow there, see? Now, if you make a pillow out of John there, you'll go to sleep. Say amen, somebody. Well, you come here, this is a hospital sometimes. Group therapy, if you will. Lock the doors and windows. Don't. Are you hearing this? And they exist from day to day, and they get up in the morning and say, oh my God, what next? Oh, such a woman called me last week, 13 years. And she's in the hospital. I said, well, you put yourself in the hospital. With the I don't want to's. I don't want to receive. I don't want to get well. I don't want to listen. So then she'll go get someone else. Work on them for 13 years. Oh, existing from day to day, and oh my God, what's next? Does every stone have to hit me? Do you like this message? Put your hands up. You like it. It's the truth. Put them up there. My God, let's get free today. Get them up. Come on. Get them up. I don't want to. Hands came up. But they came up. Now, in a lighter tone, just lift them up and say, God, I surrender. Just put them up there, my God. It's the only way out of our problems is just give them to God. Oh, there's I don't want to hands in here. I can feel it. I won't do it. I refuse to. I won't want to. Yeah, their teeth are gritting. They want to, but they don't want to, but they do, but they don't, but they do. You know, if you think I'm talking, now just turn around and look at all the people right now. Just in your rebellion, turn around, take a look at all the hands that are raised. That is the problem in the house of God. I don't care, I don't want to. I don't care, I won't do it. When I'm ministering here today, I'm ministering under the guidance and the power of the Holy Ghost. This is not me speaking. Remember that. When I get up here, I'm under the anointing. I had no way to talk to this, to anybody like this, but I'm under the anointing of God to see people finally be free of the devil's claim on them. Well, you're crazy. That's all right. It says, be a fool for Christ's sake. Hallelujah! And there's deliverance going on right now, and over the radio and over these tape messages, there's deliverance going on, for there's people out there that are saying, I don't want to. I'm mad at the devil. My God, let's get mad at the devil and do something about it and start to obey the Lord. We have a duty to be happy for the next person. But I don't want to. And they're dragging their chains around. Oh, maybe I'm making people mad in here, but my God, I'm ministering by the power of the Holy Ghost. If it's slapping you up between the eyes, then good. They're dragging their chains around. I don't want to. I don't want to get free. I don't want to be bound up, and I want to be lazy and no account, and I just don't, hey, I don't want to. I don't want to get mad when I want to get mad. I don't want to be sad when I want to be sad, and I don't want to. My God, I don't want to. I don't want to. Why did I ever come here? I'm going to quit this church. I'm going to go to another one where they just let you sit down and die. Say amen, somebody. And then number four, lock all those doors. And then number four, those who have lost out completely, some of them victims of evil habits. Some hopelessly lost in the doctrines of self-righteousness. They're all self-righteous. They can do no wrong. Oh, I'd never say that. Same, I got a right God that puts up with a lot of my wrongs. Don't you? Same, wrong thoughts? Oh, you didn't have none last week? I did. I'll have some next week too, but God's teaching me. And so, if number one is the only class, the only ones that have the victory, then there are many, I believe, who need victory over inferiorities. How many hearing this? Let's read from the Word of God here. In Corinthians, I want people to get free. My God, I want it. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything you may have an abundance for every good deed. There is where prosperity comes. Listen real careful now. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency, and in everything you may have abundance for every good deed. But what is a good deed? Lying down your life for a friend. Denying your life, giving your life, sharing your life. Not your problems and not your troubles and not your I don't want to's. But giving the life that Christ has given you to someone else. The life that I now live, I live in Christ. It is no longer I that live. I think there's a lot of I don't want to's still living. Because if the life of Christ was coming forth, it'd be a life of total surrender and forgiveness to all, and a total dedication to the Lord. Are you hearing this? And then let me turn over here to Ephesians 3 and 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, listen now, with the power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullnesses of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power that works within us, to him be all the glory, hallelujah, in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations, forever and ever, amen. Hallelujah, are you hearing it? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, you have to give up all of your bitternesses, all past bitternesses, all of them, that you may be rooted, that you may be grounded in love. And oh, perfect love casts out all fear, and the guilt is gone, and you get up in the morning and you feel right with the Lord. Oh, that's a good feeling. Not that everything is seemingly going right in your life, I mean, the way you look at it, but that you're right with God. And I thought to myself, why should we be empty in the presence of fullness, and why should we be defeated in the presence of victory? His victory. Why should we be uncertain in the presence of certainty? Now, I know that I'm going to get some letters on this message because I want to hit it dead on, and I'm just tired of the devil having a field day with Christians, aren't you? Aren't you? Did you think he should have control over your lives? No, I don't think so. I know so. You know what the problem is? We don't listen. We ask for direction, but we don't listen. Now, it's like a person they're out in California driving along and say, honey, I think we're lost. Oh, we'll find it, and they drive. They're just too stubborn, so they just keep right under. I know it's right over here, and they're on the other side of Los Angeles. You ever get into Los Angeles, man? You can drive. You get into Los Angeles, and then you drive for another 6 hours. Then you miss the freeway turnoff, and you're in Mexico. You know? And finally, then you ask someone for directions, but you're mad, so you don't even listen. Because you still know. You still know, don't you see? And so, guy says, well, in California, in Chicago and Detroit, where they go by blocks. Oh, it's 180 blocks down that way. Well, you know, if you're from a farmer town, 180 blocks, if they said, you know, 10 acres or a rod down that way. But they say 180 blocks that way, and it's 190 blocks this way. Or you can get on the freeway, and you're not listening. I know. And you're almost getting mad if the guy is trying to help you. And you didn't hear it. So you get back in the car again, and you're, get in there. Well, what'd he say? What's the way? He says, down this way. Oh, God, I used to be that way. I'm so sorry. God. I could not follow directions. Too stubborn. Now, not only do I ask directions, but I ask three times, because that person I'm talking to might be stubborn like I am. Oh, I know the way. And he doesn't know nothing. It's the other way. Oh, radio audience, I know that some of you just naturally hate my guts, but I'm going to give you the truth. And the truth will set you free whether you like me or not. You're not going to have everybody like you. Get that right now. How many are hearing this? I'm not up here for a popularity contest, by the way. I might even drop dead, but I'll drop dead happy if it happened tonight. I want to obey God, don't you? Listen, ye who are downcast, who feel far from any triumph. I bring my triumph near, right near. My victory is hastening. Claim your victory in God in every circumstance. Claim it in God. Oh God, I know that this is speaking to me. I don't want to. How do I break this power? God, I know I don't want to, and I don't care. Believe that you have the victory over every circumstance. Now the devil can cause you to take life's forces and be converted downward. Fear and sickness can cause a conversion hysteria. Some people get saved and then they go into a conversion hysteria. They got the new life and they're rebelling against the new life, and so they go into a conversion hysteria and they just go zonkers. They get into more unbelief than they had before, because now they're trying to get ahead of God, and they get into hysteria. It's like someone that's anxious. You ever been around somebody that's anxious? Man, they can drive you crazy. Say amen, somebody. Come on. You know, or somebody standing there, you know, you're working down at your job. What kind of work do you do?
I'm Brown Institute.
Brown Institute, where they fix radios and do stuff like that? Or a receiver?
Broadcasting.
What are you going to say next, broadcasting? Now, what do I do next? Just a minute. I'll get with you in a minute. I got four other pupils here. Can you concentrate with somebody like that around? No, you have to tell them. Go over and sit down, please, and I'll get with you a little later. Of course, they won't mind. They'll sit there and they'll tap their foot over there. Now, maybe you don't like this because I ain't speaking in King's English. You wouldn't understand it anyway. But they get into a conversion hysteria. And they get hysterical. And that kind of a person can be paralyzed with fear and with doubts. Even blindness. They're blind to everything that's going on. Good things can be happening all around them, but now they're blinded. They're into a conversion hysteria and they're blinded. They're worriers and they're blinded and they don't see anything good. Good can be all around them, but they're into this conversion hysteria. And they're trying to figure their own way out, and they're trying to get into their own feelings, and they're listening to the counsel of Dr. Pillpusher or Dr. Shrink. And the whole problem is that they will not listen. And then when you listen, you have to follow through. Because it won't always, that's like teaching a baby how to walk. You teach them one step at a time, but see that sometimes when we get prideful, we don't want to learn one step at a time. We want to take a shortcut, so we go to a shrink or we go to somebody that will give us some pills to kind of help us along. Even Christians, a lot of Christians are into taking pills. They got a briefcase they carry with them, and they open it up, and it's got pills lined up, bands across there. It holds them all in. They look like a traveling ministry like they used to have years ago with these wagons that went out. They're into conversion hysteria. But anyway, let's get into this today. And then the subconscious mind refuses to receive and puts us into an illusion. And many times unknown to us puts us, I think, out of the game. How many have been out of the game sometimes? My God, I know I have. You know what that is? It's a conversion downward. conversion downward. All the way out, a lower level of solution. And then you go to a lower level of solution. Unbelief takes you into that. Are you hearing this? Then you get into being ill. And then you get into being paralyzed. You don't do anything. Let me tell you something here today. The Christian conversion is upward, fastened to God. It's a high solution. It's a positive over the negative. It's fastened on health instead of illness and being busy instead of escapism. Say amen. It's outgoing love instead of self-pity. Now, I want you to hear that. It's an outgoing love instead of a self-pity. How many people like to be in self-pity once in a while? Put both my hands up on that one. I put them both up. This is love to be in self-pity. Some love it. They live in it. Where do you live now? And you'd like to answer for them. Oh, she lives down in self-pity. That's where she lives. Well, yeah, I know. But, I mean, what's her address? Self-pity. Where are you living today? Where's that place called Lonesome Place? Isn't that a type of hell? I live there. Every once in a while, I relish it. Go in my office and I'm all by myself. Get all snuggled down. I know what I'm doing. Supposedly. And I sit down and I move into my old house. Self-pity. God. God! He isn't listening. You know why? I know better. So I don't get any answers, so I just leave that house and go back out to get it. Someday I'm going to learn. Not to keep going back. I go in for little visits every once in a while and sit by myself. But not for long. They're down to about a minute and a half now. You know why? Because I know it doesn't work. No, I'm going to be tested on it until that minute and a half is gone. Well, you know, when you go up in an elevator, what do? To get up there? You got to push the button up. You get in? No matter how down you are. No matter how downcast you are. Oh, the new courthouse is like that. They got 20, 30 stories. You may feel down and you may feel defeated and you might feel like a reject, but by pushing the up button, where do you go? Go up. You take your down, defeated self to higher places, even if you don't want to. Did you ever notice how many people there are on the elevator going up that are down? You should sing while you're on the elevator with all those I don't want to faces. That's where I got that message. I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up to heavenly places. And then turn around and face them and sing, "This little light of mine." Oh, wouldn't they hate you? You know why? They don't want to hear that. I'm going to let... Now, this is a whole elevator. The I don't want to faces. With all the perfumes that are in that elevator trying to cover up human stink. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Do you think you'd live to the 22nd floor? Oh, my God, laugh. It'll, you might crack your face, but it's good. Go ahead on. What do you got against it anyway? That's what I would say to him. Or then turn around and say, "Clap your hands, all ye people, shout on the voice with the voice," and then take their hands and lift them up. Shout on the voice with the God. Lift those hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Huh? Might as well live dangerously. I know I'm living dangerously right now when I'm preaching. There's people like to stone me. But they won't come through the radio and I won't come through that tape. You'll have to come on down here to the north side and take a visit. Bring your stones with you. It's like a guy come up to me, and a lot of your radio audience doesn't, they don't know who you are, what you look like. But then we were on TV, and so a guy come up and he says, he looked at me like I was some kind of a bug. Pastor Paul? So I didn't disappoint him. I said, "Yes." Hey, I got to have a little bit of fun. Is that all right? Praise him, praise him. Now, what do you suppose that elevator would do? Well, I don't know. I'll have to try that and find out. They'd probably be beating me with their fists. Then you would know that it's working. You would. If you did that in a crowd of Christians, they might stone you. It's the truth. If we won't take the Christian conversion upward, we will take some other form of conversion downward. Always. What goes up must come down unless you get off when you're up. Why don't we get off when we're up? Is it because we miss being down? How many miss being down once in a while? That sounds strange. But you're real happy and people go, "Gee, you're so happy and you're so full of joy." And then it gets you to thinking. And then when you get to thinking, that's dangerous. And you're just trying to think, "Well, why am I up like this?" You know what happens when you try to figure out being up? You get down. You know what you're coming down with? A whole lot of people on an elevator with, "I don't want two faces." You remember the day that you had that "I don't want to" face? Didn't last long, did it? No. You remember that, honey? Wasn't you glad to get rid of that "I don't want to" face?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was so miserable. And everybody else was getting miserable around her. Let no smile look straight ahead, crowd, descend without you. Are you hearing this? Let them go ahead and descend without you. Let them go down. Are you hearing this today? And you know what they'd be singing? We don't want to. We don't want to. We don't. You ever sing that to your parents? That's good. That's honest. You know what? You're getting free. All that whole elevator that's descending without you, you just look around at them again and say, no, there's no hope. I've tried every song there is on these folks. Get off up there. Say, hey, let me out of here. Step out of the elevator. And as they're going down singing, we don't want to. We don't want to. You got friends like that that, you know, they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, and maybe even someone's already smoking dope, you know. We don't, and aren't they? Sure they are. We don't want to, we don't want to, we don't want to. And you just be up on the top floor up there shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Praise unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap ye hands, all ye people. I want to tell you something, folks, it works. If you don't think you have a job and that you have an opportunity to make somebody happy, change your face. My God, change it and get off of the road of self. Come on. It ain't always easy because sometimes we want to get into ourselves. Sometimes people try to escape as a child does. You know what I used to do if I didn't have my homework done? One of my solutions, I would wish, gee, if only the building would burn down. If only it would snow and cover up the whole building forever. Or maybe I should get sick today. And then you put on your drag step and shuffle your hair. Mom. It's a childish solution, but we've all used it. I don't feel good, Mom. And of course, Mom says, what's wrong? When you're half smiling and... You know what that is? That's the I don't want to. I don't want to go to school. That's the only reason. You didn't do your homework and you didn't get it on, so you just didn't. And you happen to be sitting here, so I'm just using you. Even though it is hitting right on. Teacher asked me one time, she says, Paul, how do you think we should stop cheating in tests? You know what my answer was? No tests. You know why we got to love each other every day? Because we might not be here tomorrow. Then you got to live with that. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, husbands and wives? Isn't that right, friends? We don't want to face the issues, the problems, and we feel too inferior to cope. Oh, nightmare of nightmares. They feel too inferior, so they take the elevator down. They abort, they take the pill, they become homos or lesbians or stay single or tie their tubes and escape into the sewers of defeat and fear. They're inferior. Do you ever see an inferior person tip? It's a problem. It's a big decision on what part of a quarter they should leave on the table. And what's that? Helping is their problem. Their inferiorities have entered into even the smallest decisions. Let's see, should I leave a dime or 15 cents? So don't dodge these inferiorities by being sick. So that they won't show up. Sometimes we're so fearful, or something might show up in our characters that we hide. We won't take on positions that we should take on. One time, I had the opportunity of taking over a whole cafe, booze, counter, hoods, stove, steam. I mean, I'm trying to say it was the whole cafe. That was only 19 years old, but you know what held me back? Fear. Inferiority. Isn't that right? That's why people don't take jobs. That's why they don't show their face. That's why they hide. They just can't cope with it. Don't dodge them. You know what will happen? A lot of times you find people that are draggies. You ever seen draggies? Sort of drag themselves from one place to the next. Just dragging along. You know what I'm talking about, draggies? He's telling, will you go over and pick up that over there and bring that back over here? I got to have it. I got to have it right away. And they take off in there. Huh? There are people that have inferiority complexes. They're fearful, need encouragement, they need to receive the word. When they come in that attitude, they drag. They are a drag. Isn't that right? Have you ever said that to someone? Boy, what a drag that guy is. Ooh. Let's look at a piece of scripture here. Let's look for a solution. Let's seek out the Lord. Philippians 4 and 12. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And let's go down to 13 here, too. I can do all things well through Christ who strengthens me. Now people mistake that and they say, well, you can sing, you can do all things well through Christ who strengthens, or you can run a computer. Well, some people are more fitted for better jobs and you do good to your best ability. Then we have the dominating moms. They can make their sons inferior or their daughters inferior. Comparing the fathers, always lifting up one son against the other. And here's the mom. Straighten up, Charles. You look so defeated. Sit up, Charles. How do you ever expect to get a girl with that posture, hunchback? Can't you do anything right, Charles? It seems I am surrounded by dummies. And the kid goes to his room and the mom raves on and on and on. I tell you, Fred, the kid can hear even though he's got his ears stuffed with cotton. He's wrapped a couple of these over-the-face masks on. He's got them over his, and he's got his pillow over his head. He can still hear it. I tell you, Fred, that boy is no good. He'll never amount to anything. He's a D student. He's void of all personality. His friends are repulsive, and his conversation is zero. Now, what kind of a kid is that going to make? Oh, you know what that kid needs? He needs shock treatments. Needs his head wired. Let me explain this so you know what I'm talking about here. My God, I want to get this message across. Maybe you're a mom on the radio. You just got to have your yap going all the time. Sorry, but it's the truth. That boy needs to have himself. Now, I'm not talking about naturally being a mom. That's fine, but this kind of action needs to be plugged into the Word of God for his deliverance. Say amen. Plugged in. Plugged into the Word of God so that, you know how they put these earphones? You know why these people wear these radios? They don't want to hear. So they put on these earphones and they can live in their own little world. And it's so weird to see the different expressions when you're in a cafe and they have like four or five people there. One person's in there, and then they're into this melancholy music, and they're... And then there's another guy over there, and he's really hearing something. Huh? But what are we plugged into? Plug into the Word of God. You that have had some kind of a parent, don't use your parents for an excuse. Plug into the Word of God. There's a lot of kids like that. Need that Word of God to shock all them bad thoughts out of his head so he can receive new thoughts, faith in God, faith in thyself, it says. The responsibility of making decisions. Someone asked me that has an inferiority complex. Well, how do I do that? Go on back and I want you to do this or that. You take the flour and you put it in here and then you put it in the bag. Well, could you show me? Sure. You don't say, you mean you don't know how to put flour in a bag? If I just feel that about a person, I'll say, come on, let me show you. And the only reason I'm showing you is because I want you to put in the right amount. You open the bag up and see. I know you know how to do this, but this is the way we do it, and I want about that much in there, okay? And you can just almost feel them go, the truth. And then they say, okay, you want me to pack rice today? Could you show me? I say, well, just do the same thing I showed you with the flour. And if you have any problems, just come and see me. Put about the same amount in there. And they're still not too sure of their sauce, so they'll do about a dozen bags, and they'll come back and they'll say, want to come and see what I've done? Okay. And they sort of dog behind you. Now I'm working with people. Now I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. And they sort of dog behind you. But it isn't quite as doggy as when they first come in. And see, the world's made a monkey out of them. And then you get back there and say, exactly. In fact, you're doing it better than anybody I've ever had here before. This is great. I have seen people transformed when you teach them how to listen. The reason they can't learn, they can't listen, because somebody has been yelling and screaming and carrying on, and they're sick of it, and they can't even take directions when they're in California in their car, and they just want to listen to nobody. Is that right? And they need to be told to stop trying to escape with excuses of sickness, excuses of I can't, excuses of I'm afraid. They need shock treatments. They need to be wired up in their head so that the Word of God can tell them you're not sick. You can. You're not afraid. You can do it. Simply trust in the Lord. Stop leaning upon your own understanding. You know what your own understanding, I've come to believe, is? Dunghills. Leaning on your own understanding is a dunghill. Let me tell you, they're not too stable. You're liable to fall all the way in. Don't get swallowed up in that mess. Push your thoughts around. Does your thoughts push you around during the day? They push. You can't do that. Go back in here and hide. There's certain people you don't want to see. Oops. Oh. Of course, nobody knows what I'm talking about here. We all know what we're talking about. Put your hands up. We all know. Sure. Right, Jim? Just turn around, though. Turn around. Just look at all the people in here. It's really right, ain't it? I remember there was a period in my life, and I was a wonderful waiter. I was brought up in the cafes, and I would take these trays, and I could walk backwards, and they had the cup and the saucer and the little creamer. Now they don't do it like that. They have them on the table, but they had, and I had it all lined up, and I could go backwards. Fing, 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 fing. and line them all up on my arms and go over there and just wait on them. But then somebody would come in I didn't want to see and I'd freeze. Some girl. I thought, oh, God. My dad said, what's the matter? You embarrassed or something? You afraid? It's a girl. You know, girl? I said, I know it's a girl. I was letting and allowing my thoughts to push me around. My dad knew that. Do you know that? You take your thoughts and you push your thoughts around. You know what I mean? In fact, just throw your own thoughts out. Say, hey, out! And you overcome by actually doing it, even if you're shaking while you're doing it. Isn't that right? Look how God caught that and it didn't fall on the floor. It caught in my pocket. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. God's with me. How many hearing this today? Okay. Piece of scripture here. Acts 15, 17 and 19. In order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, make these things known from old. I'm telling you about something that happened to me. So you'll get free today. Shouldn't we use our freedom on other people? Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not have trouble, that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. And now there's wrong ways to meet these inferiorities. Some people, when they're frustrated, escape into the TV. Do you remember your brother, how he used to escape into the TV? That's where he'd sit. Hour after hour after hour after hour. The light would be in the room. And late at night, there'd be no lights, but you'd look in through the window and there would be a you know, sort of an illumination of a TV tube. Escape into the TV. Or escape into the radio. Or escape into the bar. I used to escape into the bar all the time. But I just got more and more of a prisoner. Escape into your home. Some people love to escape into their home and they run for their home. Oh, oh, God. Oh, 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 bad, naughty world. Click. Have they escaped? No. They're the same miserable person they were when they were out there. Some escape into the icebox. Chocolate bonbons in the bathtub is sort of a soak and bloat treatment. Oh, I know there's a lot of you listening to me today. Their hot tub is their thing. You know, if you invented heaters that would go, and I think they have got them, heaters that go in tubs so people could just live in there with their bonbons and they could escape into the bathtub, they'd live there. Oh. Are some of you girls listening to me on the radio? I hope so. And then we have those with no illusions or delusions. They just live in a grim reality. These people suffer from no illusions. They have the illusion of no illusions. Does that sound right? Their illusion is grim reality. Hey, I take it like it comes. And good, the devil says, here it comes. Unload on this guy. He's living in grim reality. It's the way it is. See, I think the word grim reality is the battlefield where the battle must be faced and fought and won. We've got reality going on in here today, and maybe it's too much reality. I don't know. All I'm doing is burying myself. But then we have the marks of emotional maturity. It's people that stick to a job until it's finished and do something you don't like in a job. Well, I don't like to do it anyway. See, some people want to do their own thing in the church or in their job. And I just want to do my own thing. Leave me alone. Nothing else. I'm a preacher. So what? You take the P off of preacher and you got reacher. And that's what people should be doing that are preaching. That's reaching people. And how do you reach them? Unless you just minister the truth. Don't be afraid of losing a few folks, preacher. Is that what you were hired for? To babysit? Or I'm a teacher, or I'm this, or I'm that, and I can't dirty my hands doing anything. Even Paul went back to making tents. You know why? Because the best way to teach or to preach to people is do. That's the marks of maturity. Endure in hardships. Be able to make decisions right in the middle of a hardship in God. Have determination. Be able to take orders. Be able to cooperate. Be able to know all this, you have to listen. Be flexible to circumstances. Now, you change some people's direction, they just get so mad. You tell, now, I want you to go over and do this. Then you come back and say, I want you to leave that. But you told me to come over here. I'm already stuck in this. Well, don't get stuck in anything. Be mobile. Come on over here. These are the Christian characteristics. Some have come to me and you say, you know, they almost say, I've overdosed on my parents. I'm having a reaction from my past life with my parents, a flashback. And they use their parents for an excuse and for an alibi. That is a sure, I believe, sign of immaturity in Christians. Blame the parents or blame someone else. And it's so easy to blame your husband or your wife. And it's so easy to blame. And we play games. Don't we? But sometimes I counsel with people and they have the husband over here and the wife over here. And the wife is better, probably, or the husband's better, at covering up. So they sort of sit back of the other mate and they sort of smile down their nose. And the other person is telling the whole truth, and so they're kind of looking like, can't you see what I'm putting up with? That's when preachers, you need to have discernment about what's going on and give the truth. And you'll probably never counsel with that person again, but if you don't give the truth, God can't even use you. And so they're smiling down their nose and they've told you all the stories about the other person. And they just sweetie pie it up and they... And the other person is more vocal, more honest, more open. See, they wait till they get home and they say, shut up! I don't want to! Nobody sees that side. But preacher, if you're on the ball, you'll see that side. Not that we all don't cover up. How many in here cover up? Okay. But stop saying I can't and say I can. I can, you can. Start saying that. Now I'm closing. Philippians 4 and 12 through 13. It says, I know how to get along. And I want to read this again. With humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled or going hungry, both with having abundance and suffering need. Ooh. Why not be a pillar in the church instead of being a caterpillar? Huh? Ever seen caterpillars wiggle along? Why not hold up the church and lift up the church instead of wiggling out of the church all the time and wiggling out of action? Worming into one church after another. Right? Worming out of responsibilities, worming out of the truth, worming out of facing your own problems. Worms. Stop crawling all over. And then our sins cause inferiorities, don't they? Ever notice when you do something wrong how you just feel inferior? You listening on the radio, you're not receiving this. God has told you to receive it. You're in stubborn and you're in rebellion and you don't want to receive it. You're going to turn the radio off and be miserable. Because you have said continually through the whole message, I don't want to. Say, I want to. If God hits on one of your sins, receive it and say, God, I want to be free. Because that guilt over our sins can put us in the no-smile crowd going down in the elevator of life. Psalm 107 and 17 and 18. Some weakened by their sinful ways were sick and suffering. Through the evil doing, they had a loathing for all food. Pretty soon you don't want to eat anymore. Pretty soon you don't know what it is, but you just can't eat anymore. You're soul sick. Ever seen people that get soul sick? Well, they've been through this trial and that trial and this trial, and they haven't believed God in any of them. And so their batteries, and their own batteries, they don't have the generator going, and so they're living off their own batteries, and pretty soon the battery goes dead, and they can't even start. They can't even eat. They can't do anything because they're not generated. And so they live off their own batteries, and their lights get weak, and their motor gets weak, and pretty soon they sort of drowned out. How many are hearing this? Are you living on your own batteries? And so they get soul sick and they don't even want to eat anymore. Oh no, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat anymore. Psalm 106 and 43, till all evil doing wasted them away. You ever seen people that are wasted? In the world they say that, man, he was wasted. Did you ever feel wasted? I have. Totally wasted. Well, why do you get that way? I don't know. I know, but sometimes I won't admit it. And I only get that way, too, for a minute and a half. That's self-pity again. Well, know this today and know it before you leave here, that sin makes you weak and suffer. And sin will make you hate food, and sin will make you waste away. The world says, man, look at that person. He is wasted. Because that unconfessed sin keeps you going down, paralyzes you, makes you feel inferior. I went by a car, and I just happened, I've noticed this a lot of times. I was driving along, and says, you can live with this speed. Isn't that what they say? 55, you can live with this speed, 55, something like that. 50 miles, 55 miles an hour, a speed you can live with? Isn't that it? But I looked in the cars, and the people I was looking at were having a hard time living with themselves, no matter what speed they were going. Right? In other words, some people go real fast at what they're doing, and some people go real slow at what they're doing, but they're not happy in any of it. Some settle down in the fact that they're sinning, and they just accept it as a fact, and they say, that's the way it is in the raw. That's the way it is. That's life. That's L-I-F-E. Don't you believe it, people. You can change it. You know, a potato one time was called poison. Tomatoes one time were called poison. And peaches one time were called poison. And they all changed from poison to profit. I thought to myself, what would McDonald ever do without his french fries? And what would Thanksgiving be without potatoes and gravy? And what good would a BLT be without the tea? That's like us. We can be changed from a poisonous person to a profitable person. Can't we? Can't we be contagious to one another? Can't we? You ever notice somebody that's happy, they're contagious? Isn't laughing contagious? So are miserable people contagious. They're miserable when they walk around. They sort of touch people, infect them. Now you got a takeover of the whole place with miserable people. There. Now they're happy. Because everybody's miserable like they are. Misery loves company. No, you have a duty. And your duty is to put on a happy face. And whether you feel like it or not. Because if you'll just do that as an act of faith, those people that you contaminate will make you happy. Because by faith, you've done it. When I know that people, sometimes you minister like I minister right now, they will not receive it. I don't want to. You know what that is? That is a spirit. Today, I have come against spirits. Some on my own, some of the audience, a lot on the radio, and a lot on the tape. But those are spirits that hinder us from having a good time in God. Say amen, somebody. You see, we can change. Micah 4:7 says, I will make the lame the nucleus of a nation, make the sick into a power. Oh, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things in this world to confound the wise. God is going to leave. He's going to raise up those people that have the I want tos. Isaiah 61:3 says, to give them oil of my joy for mourning. No, it says, give them the oil of joy for their mourning robes. Praise for their plaintiveness. Isaiah 6. And I believe, is it 17? Instead of bronze, I will bring gold to you, silver instead of iron. Bronze is good, but gold is better. Iron is good, but silver is better. For our goods, God gives us betters. I'm closing. One more piece of scripture here. Oh, no, yes. Oh, Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I had a message years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, called Jehovah Eagle. Do you remember that one? And it's really the truth. And it all starts with just your believing. Let's start then in closing here to realize the possibilities that we have. That's the one step you have to take out of inferiorities. See, as long as you are the center of everything, you're going to be inferior. Okay, I'll make myself the center of everything right in here. And then everybody's looking at me. That's like you go in a cafe and the whole cafe turns around and they look at you. Wouldn't you feel inferior? I mean, well, you'd look and say, what's wrong? Shoes untied, my belt on, you know, and they all turn around and they look at you. You know what's wrong? You're the center, and that's why we have fears and we're inferior, because we've made ourselves the center. We think everybody is watching us. They're not watching. They're not concerned, most people. Give, and you'll start to feel superior in the Lord. Give yourself up. Even the air right now that I'm sucking in, if I surrender it, I suck this air in. If I surrender it, it's a note. There's got to be surrender. I love you. I surrendered it. If all you're breathing in is poisoned by what's on the inside and it comes out that way, surrender it to God. Are you hearing this message today? One more piece of scripture here. Psalm 56 and 13. For thou hast saved my life from death, my feet from stumbling, that I may live ever mindful to God in the universe of in the sunshine of life. Praise the Lord for today, and praise the Lord for you people that were here today. 1 Samuel 2 and 1 says, my heart thrills to the eternal. My powers are heightened by him. Open your minds then to the conscious, to the opportunity, to the life that's before us, to the great job that's given God has given us, and be plus people instead of minus people. Give your heart to the Lord today, fully, without keeping little parts to yourself, and remember that these things today have hit you, and if you wanted to receive those things today, you've been through therapy. All I've done today is confess those faults one another that we may be healed. These things I had, my God, I had them, I know I had them, and God is still working on me right now. But how many here agree that if we agree with God, it's going to work out? If we agree with the Lord. Whew, that's it for today. Praise the Lord, I heard someone say. Praise the Lord for the message. Go ahead. Now, all I want is two very quick comments. Just two quick comments from somebody. Somebody that'll help. You know how many people are suffering out there? My God, every day I'm counseling with them on the phone. How many in here care for people that are really suffering? I'm not talking about sitting here in church. Suffering in their heart, their soul. They're down, they're ready for suicide. How many in here even care, even a little bit? God, we're in a battle, folks. How do we get it across by this type of preaching? There are people out there that need our help. Please, two quick testimonies on what God has done in your life. Maybe you've been delivered today in some way. There's someone out there on that radio right now that's ready for suicide. God's speaking to me. Can you give them a word? Can you help them out? Someone in here. Jan.
This whole message was me. You know, inferiority complexes, and I know that to be inferior is simply not to believe the Lord and what he's got for you. And also you were talking about being miserable, and I was thinking about all the times that Paul used to want to press ahead before we were saved. I'd want to do something, have a big vision and a plan to do this or that. And I wanted him to do something, but the minute that he got into it, then I would try to discourage that because it was a spirit. It was not me, I know it. But it was a spirit, and it was like I just couldn't stand to have him busy and preoccupied with something else, even though, you know, I don't know, I can't even explain it, but I'm sure you know. And the Lord spoke to my heart after I come to know him, and he says, why do you make sorrowful the one that I brought to you to make you happy? He says, that is stupidity for me to want to make you miserable when you were sent in my life to help make me happy. And so if I try to put misery on you, then we're both miserable, and who's going to make us happy?
That's right. And, you know, folks, I think if the pastor and his wife are honest, people should be able to receive for themselves a little bit, don't you? I really think we should, and I think we should all just, we got a lot of growing up to do, that's for sure. All of us do. And there's another person back here that's got a comment. Praise the Lord. I'm walking up towards the person.
I just spent so much of my life in that inferiority thing. And the Lord has set me free, but like you said in your message, it's from the Word. It's being plugged into the Word. And even now, after being delivered of many different inferiorities, still, I can still get that drag thing,
sure.
You know, but like you said, then what you have to do is you go back and you be plugged into the Lord. And that was so good about the elevator thing, because that's so true. Anytime you step on an elevator, man, it's like a spirit's in there. I mean, everybody is down, really down. And so you want to, you know, no matter how down you are, the only place to go is up. And I have to remember to get off when I'm up instead of going back down again. That was so good.
Well, it's just a little bit of what happens. And anybody else, just a quick one, right here?
A lot of times when you get people looking at you, like you say, you just, like, feel real stupid. But those people are stupid anyway because, you know, they see something about you or something.
Right.
And God sees you as perfect always, so just submit to Him. And right. No matter what you're doing, He's faithful. So right. If you're going through anything, just come to God and He'll take care of you. And it doesn't matter because He's what counts.
You know. And even sometimes when they look at you, you got little sin in your life. I'm not talking about great, you know, women chasing and boozing and drugs. Little sins, like you were mad at somebody or you couldn't receive and someone tried to give you counsel or like that, and you go in a cafe, let's say, and they all turn and look at you. That sin gives you a feeling of separation from God, even those little sins. So when they turn around, you're guilty. They're all looking at you, and it's just like they all know what you did. And it's nothing. If you told them what you did, they'd laugh. What? You thought shut up when somebody tried to give you counsel. That's nothing. But when they turn around, they look at you, then all those little sins that are in there. See, that's why it's so important to be right and be honest with God. Even though the thing isn't completely healed yet, you're honest with the Lord. And when you're honest with the Lord, you got that good feeling you're right with God. Otherwise, you're bound up. And you listening on the radio, if you know, you can't receive any of this today, you know what happens? You go out bound up, and when people look at you, you're under the gun. I know that's the way it is, isn't it? When they turn around, it's like they know everything you do. They don't know nothing. They're saying, who is this fool coming in here? That's what they're thinking. Close the door. You're born in a barn. They're thinking a thousand things. Right here is another one.
Okay, as far as the word inferiority, the second syllable, in fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is what you get when you are inferior.
You're very fearful.
So yes, you're very fearful. So that is why a lot of people have inferiority complexes. It's mm-hmm. because they are in fear
right.
for themselves or for anyone else that they may be thinking of.
That's like you're called to a meeting and Dr. So-and-so is going to be there from the University of Minnesota and the president of the bank and so on like that. And all of a sudden you start to feel, oh, God, I can't talk with these people. Well, keep your mouth shut till you find out how smart they are. You only show how stupid you are by the words you use. And also your face shows that sometimes. The face of, you ever seen a person when they can't receive, they have the face of disgust or disdain or, now remember those things, and I used to have those are spirits, aren't they? They are, I used to have that. And I try not to have that face, it would be there, and it was just mistrust. Somebody put their hand up over here first, somebody? Back there, George. Try to get some of these people that never give testimonies now. Okay.
I know I've been reminded by Paul many times that I kind of changed my face, and I know where he's coming from because, either I hide it, I walk off somewhere, or else I find out that this is the matter of fact that if I don't, I can't feel happy, or somebody's going to take a picture of me looking sad. I know I kind of feel weird about that, but I think the thing is that I'm learning to accept myself and not to have to ride over with something. You know, to
be a phony, like,
yeah, a phony, yeah. Yeah. Have some music or something, take it a ride off with it or something, you know. And I'm trying to hide it. And, you know,
you can't hide. No. Okay. Right here. Okay.
From the time that I was in sixth grade through a sophomore in high school, I was treated for anorexia, and you talk about blaming everybody else and throwing yourself pity parties and saying, I don't want to. And, well, just going through the whole inferiority complex, you really get into it with something like that. And when I was through with my treatments, I thought that I had the world by the tail, and now I was really happy and everything was okay. But until I was saved about a year ago, after I was saved a year ago, I realized that for so many years I had a lot of things, but I really had nothing until I had Jesus Christ.
That's the main thing, is it's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ, the Word of God, Jesus. He's the answer to it all.